Later that day, I made a friend. I heard cries of distress, and I ran to where some of the little people were bathing in a pond. When I reached there, I discovered that one of the women was drowning, and none of the others made the slightest attempt to rescue the weak, crying little thing. I dived in and carried her safely to shore. The next day she came to me and presented me with these white flowers. Without thinking, I put some of the flowers in my pocket to examine later. The little woman became my one friend in that future time. I learned her name and taught her some words. And finally, with great effort, we were able to understand each other. What is your name? What do they call you?
Weena.
Weena. I am Man.
Man? Me, Eloy. Eloy, very good.
Who lives down there?
Morlocks. Morlocks, very bad. Morlocks see only in dark. We fear night. Morlocks come at night. Morlocks eat Eloy.
Is that why the Eloy live in large groups in those big houses?
Yes, that is why.
Can you tell me more about the Morlocks?
No.
Then I will go see the Morlocks for myself.
No, don't go there. Don't go.
I am a strong man. I am not afraid. Goodbye, little Weena.
Do not go down there. Do not.
I felt over the parapet for the climbing hooks, and rather hastily I began to descend. I had to clamber down a shaft of perhaps 200 yards by means of the metal bars which projected from the sides of the well. And these being adapted to the needs of a creature much smaller and lighter than myself, I was cramped and fatigued by the descent. Suddenly, one of the bars broke under my weight and almost swung me off into the blackness beneath. I grabbed another bar and was saved. After that experience, I did not dare rest again. Though my arms and back were acutely painful, I went on clambering down the sheer descent as quickly as possible. When I finally reached the bottom of the shaft, there was a horizontal tunnel. The sound of machines grew louder as I felt my way along the narrow passage. When I came to a large open space, I struck a match. Great shapes like big machines rose out of the dimness and cast grotesque black shadows. The place was very stuffy and oppressive. When the match went out, I was clutched and grabbed by several soft, damp hands. No, no, let me alone! Quickly, I struck another match. Light is the only thing that keeps them back. But I have only four matches left. By that light, I could see the stooping white creatures fleeing into dark gutters and tunnels, from which their eyes glared at me in the strangest fashion. I lit another match and made good my retreat to the narrow tunnel. I had scarcely entered when my light was blown out, and in the blackness I could hear the Morlocks coming after me again. Just as their clammy hands were on me, I lit my second match. You can scarce imagine how nauseatingly inhuman they looked, those pale, chinless faces and great lidless pinkish-gray eyes. There was no mistaking that they were trying to haul me back. My last two matches lasted until I got to the shaft. As I started up the ladder, my feet were grabbed from behind. Kicking wildly, I fought my way up the rungs, while they stayed peering and blinking up at me. That climb seemed interminable to me. At last I reached the opening of the shaft, got over the well mouth somehow, and staggered into the blinding sunlight. Weena.
Man safe. No Morlocks in sunlight.
For a time, I was unconscious. Later, I spoke with Weena of my experience. Tell me, Weena, do the Morlocks do all the work for the Eloy?
Yes.
But the Eloy fear the Morlocks.
I have said, Morlocks eat Eloy.
How did this happen? Why have men become two distinct species, one helpless and the other vile?
Weena does not know.
Apparently, the Morlocks let the Eloy live above ground because they don't want it. They have lived in darkness so many years, they now prefer it. But who originally banished the Morlocks underground? Were the Eloy once a master race? And are the Morlocks now the masters?
Weena does not know.
I know you don't know, you sweet, silly child. You just don't know. The next day, Weena and I went for a long walk. I, too, am afraid of the Morlocks, Weena. But I am not helpless. I will fight them. But how is the question? Matches are the best weapon, but I have none left. I must find some other weapon.
You are a man. You will fight the Morlocks.
We walked a great distance, perhaps 15 miles. It was early afternoon when I saw the distant pinnacles of a huge building. Weena, have you ever been to that building? What is in it?
It is pretty. I have never seen it.
Come, Weena, let us see what it is. We went along through the forest a few more miles. Then finally we approached the Palace of Green Porcelain. It was deserted and falling into ruin. Along the face of it was an inscription in some unknown character. Weena, if you could only read, you might tell me what this means. Within the big valves of the door, which were open and broken, we found a long gallery whose walls were lined with a remarkable array of miscellaneous objects. Standing strange and gaunt in the center of the hall was a huge skeleton of a brontosaurus. Why, Weena, this is a museum.
What is a museum?
You will see, you will see. Going toward the side, I found the old familiar glass cases of our own time. But they must have been airtight, to judge from the preservation of their contents. Others, however, contained only dust. What a pity, Weena. It will be impossible to trace the changes of men and animals during these thousands of years because of some broken glass.
Morlocks!
I could see in the dust a number of small, narrow footprints. Yes, the Morlocks are near. Come, Weena, I must find a weapon. We walked to a hall of colossal proportions with huge machines all broken down and corroded. You know I have a certain weakness for mechanism, and I was inclined to linger among them. I fancied that if I could solve their puzzles, I should find myself in possession of powers that might be of use against the Morlocks. I turned to a machine from which projected a lever. Clambering upon the stand, I put all my weight upon it, and it snapped off in my hands. Weena, this mace will be my weapon. Come with me. Perhaps we can find something else that will be useful. Look, Weena, arms. This rifle looks usable. And these cartridges are in an airtight case. We are in luck. I loaded the gun, held my breath, and pressed the trigger. These cartridges are dummies. They're no help at all. Let's look further. We then entered another room that must have been a gallery of technical chemistry. I went eagerly to every unbroken case, then... Matches! Weena, I found matches! If they only work. We're saved, Weena, we're saved! We have the one thing that makes the Morlocks helpless. Light.
We are saved! We are saved!
In another case, I found a sealed jar of camphor. Look, Weena, camphor. This will make an excellent candle. It's highly inflammable. Come with me. We will go back to your people. It was near sunset when we left the Green Palace. As we went back through the forest, I gathered wood. Pick up these small sticks, Weena. We may need this to build a fire to keep the Morlocks away. It was soon full night. And among the black bushes behind us, and dim against their blackness, I saw four crouching figures. Weena, we must run for it through the woods. Even with a fire, I wouldn't feel safe here. I will amaze our friends by lighting a fire here. Come on, let's go! With the fire blazing brightly behind us, we ran boldly into the woods. In a few minutes, the Morlocks surrounded us. They were on our heels, clutching at our clothes, grabbing for our faces. I freed one hand and lit the camphor. I held it flaring and saw the white backs of the Morlocks in flight amid the trees. When they had been pushed back, I looked around and found Weena unconscious at my feet. I lifted her in my arms, and then I realized I'd lost my sense of direction. I did not know which way was out of the forest. I was in a cold sweat, I had to think rapidly what to do. I determined the best thing was to encamp where we were and build a fire. I put Weena, still motionless, down upon the turf and began collecting sticks and leaves. Here and there, out of the darkness around me, the Morlocks' eyes shone like carbuncles. Very soon I had a smoky fire of green wood blazing. The smoke made my eyes heavy. I was exhausted, and I slept. I awoke, feeling the Morlocks' hands upon me. In an instant, I knew what had happened. My fire had gone out, and the bitterness of death came over my soul. I was caught by the neck, by the hair, by the arms, and pulled down. It was indescribably horrible in the darkness to feel all those soft creatures heaped upon me. I felt as if I were in a monstrous spider's web. I was overpowered and went down. I felt little teeth nipping at my neck. I rolled over and grabbed my iron lever. It gave me strength, and I struggled to my feet, shaking the human rats from me. Holding the bar, I swung at them with all my strength. The wood seemed full of the horrible creatures. Then, for no reason, they turned from me and started to run away. Suddenly, the wood seemed to grow light. I turned around. The whole forest was aflame. It was my first fire coming after me. With Weena in my arms, I fled. Once, the flames outflanked me on three sides. I ran to the left, then to the right, zigzagging around the flames. Finally, I reached a small open space on a hill. We're safe here, Weena. The fire will not reach us this high. The forest burned on all sides, and the Morlocks, blinded by the flames, were helpless. Several times that night, I tried to tell myself it was just a nightmare, but it was no dream. It was real, ghastly, but real. Finally, the fire burned itself out.
Day. It is day. We do not need to be afraid. We can go back now.
I could now get my bearings. With Weena, I made my way to the Eloi. After the terror of the night, I was exhausted. I slept in the bright midday sun, and awakened a little before sunset. I was refreshed and thought carefully over the problems I was facing. All I was really thinking about was how to get out of that place. I did not wish to stay there another minute. Men had become useless and terrible. I had to get away. I went toward the White Sphinx, where I knew the Morlocks had dragged my time machine. I was armed only with my crowbar and the determination to return to my own time. And then came a most unexpected thing. As I approached the pedestal of the Sphinx, I found the bronze valves were open. They had slid down into grooves. At that, I stopped short before them, hesitated, then slowly entered. There is my time machine! And this is too easy. The Morlocks think they can outsmart me, do they? I felt in my pockets for the control levers of the time machine. Then I stepped fully inside the pedestal. As I examined the machine, the doors of the pedestal slid shut, just as I had expected. I was in the dark, trapped, or so the Morlocks thought. Again, the Morlocks' hands were upon me. I quickly fitted the levers on the machine. I could already hear their murmuring laughter as they came toward me. I pushed the lever just as they started to maul me. The next moment, I was hurtling through time. The darkness fell from my eyes, and I found myself in the same gray light and tumult I have already described. I clung to the machine as it swayed and vibrated. I watched the years speed by. Then, I was back in the laboratory. I was greatly relieved. I was back in the present. Everything was exactly as it was before. Only my time machine had moved from the southeast corner of the laboratory to the northwest corner. That is where the Morlocks moved it when they dragged it into the base of the pedestal.
Incredible.
Incredible? Yes. Take it as a lie, if you wish. I hardly believe it myself. And yet...
Are those the flowers Weena gave you for saving her life? I have never seen anything like them.
Yes. I have them to comfort me now. They prove that even when mind and strength had gone, gratitude and tenderness still lived on in the heart of man.